It is the 14th of September. Welcome to Digital Outbox, episode 61. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Tonight, we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have Henry.
Hi there.
Hello to both of you.
I'm going to have to buzz you for hesitation on starting the theme tune then.
Oh, it was rubbish. But the worst thing is, I would have fixed it in the edit. But no, you've got to bring it up.
And there's no way I'm leaving that
impossible for me to fix now.
Exactly that.
No, it'll be even funnier when you fix it in the edit and everyone's wondering what on earth Chris is talking about.
Yeah, I just feel the next 50 minutes is just all about revenge now.
I look forward to it. It's going to be fun.
I shall have my revenge. And I will admit, I might be distracted during this podcast.
There's a bit of football going on, isn't there?
There's football going on. Rangers are playing Man U. I'm on the way to Jers. And I'm not watching it. I've got BBC News. So every time something kind of scrolls up, I'm kind of reading it. Even just as I started the show tonight, and that's why there was a little pause. It kind of looked up and I was like, oh
you're nothing, proper nothing. Excited by it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Big news north of the border.
What do you mean big news north? I mean, you make it sound like we're some sort of backward provincial town.
Are you not?
No, that's Barrow.
No.
Let's crack on.
We may be a backward provincial town, but at least we've got broadband that kind of works.
Yeah, that's
at a reasonable
true.
Speed.
And a cellular network that doesn't drop calls every 2 seconds.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But enough about that. Crack on.
You get six fingers, Chris.
Well, if you count both hands.
Toes?
Anyway. Where's this going? I'm not sure.
Nowhere. I'll dig out Deliverance next time. Google search event. This was, I guess, was it about a week ago now? Was that a week ago today?
Yeah, because it's longer than a week since our last podcast, isn't it? It was sort of
it's
just after
2 weeks.
Crikey.
A break.
Yeah.
So Google search event, and really it was to announce one new product, Google Instant Search. And it wasn't just a new product, it was basically a brand new Google front page.
Yeah, they're trying to save us seconds. They care about our seconds. Or indeed. Milliseconds, if you ask them.
So it's now, it's all been, it's all Ajax, basically. And as you type in, it tries to predict what you're looking for and present the results as you type.
Yeah, so we've seen this kind of stuff happening, you know, on sort of normal websites, which have a what we call a reasonable index. But this is actually now, so it's coming back with full results every single press that you make, which is pretty incredible.
And they're also, oh, sorry, Henry.
No, carry on.
I was also going to say the difference is that previously if you'd searched for the same topic, you tended to get the same results, but not anymore. These are all tailored.
Yeah, so it sort of includes that kind of prediction aspect, which, you know, I guess it depends. I don't know how in-depth you've used it, but I tend to finish my sentence off anyway. I haven't... Okay, I can see stuff coming up. Maybe I'm just not using it correctly at the moment. Well, I'm not used to being able to see or looking at the results as they come up.
How often do you search via google.com and how often do you search via your browser search bar?
I've just realised how little I actually use the Google page. Unless I've done a search in my browser bar, that has then not come up with the results I wanted.
And I think that...
Well, do you know what I do, which is... If I really want to go to Google, then I type Google into my browser search bar. Is that how bad is that? But that's what I do.
That's
like
what
Google
everybody does.
Into that, and then that takes me to the Google page, and then you can.
It is such a lazy thing.
Thing is, though, you can't use your address bar in all browsers, can you? It's become because Chrome is sort of having a separate search bar seems such a waste of space now. I mean, I keep making the mistake on my iPhone of typing in searches into the address bar rather than clicking on
the
separate
I'm the same.
I do that all the time, yeah.
I'm the same.
Amazing how quickly things get into the normal.
So I guess the interesting thing is this the death of SEO?
it has to be, well, I don't think it's the death of SEO. It's just going to have to, companies are going to have to take it to the next level, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's going to be, we can move you up to the top if you type W.
Well, there was a whole
that's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah, there was a whole load of that last week. Advice to people about how to then trick this Google instant search. And it was a whole load of crazy stuff, like start commenting on blogs and comment linking back to your post, and if you do this and if you do that, and you're like, what?
But that's standard SEO tricks. Know, and it's not really tricking the Google search engine. If you've got a genuine trick, then you better make the most of it while you can, because you know
they'll just change.
Exactly, Google will change their algorithm or deliberately exclude you, and then where will you be?
It's still, I mean, as they always say, the biggest thing in SEO is still probably going to be, linking and getting links from big sites is your best bet.
But not too quickly, isn't it? That's the other thing. I mean, if all of a sudden you end up with 5,000 links back to your site as in a one, then actually that can harm your search engine ranking. So.
It's such a science to it. I mean, it just irritates me day to day. People get so worried about it.
Most amazingly, it launched only a week ago, and it's kind of sparked a new market for instant searching.
Yeah, we've seen it coming. We've had someone developed a YouTube instant.
YouTube instant.
And then immediately Google offered them a job.
Well, yeah, it was the one of the guys that owns, the CEO of YouTube offered the job, but this guy seemingly is working as an intern for Facebook. But we've also seen there's a Apple Store instant. I've seen a Twitter instant. And I think there was a Scottish developer who set up some sort of instant website, which is gathering together all the different instant searches.
And say the technology's been, it's the technology of Ajaxing a search, every press has been around for a while. It's more that the infrastructures are now powerful enough to, I mean, if you think that Google was receiving how many searches per second, now it's going to be, times by every button press, which is pretty, that's hammering servers somewhere.
Yeah, and the other stat that they came out, I don't think I put it in here, but they said 20% of their searches are unique. So they're constantly getting unique searches, whether it's because of spelling errors or people are just typing in bizarre combinations.
Well, so it's learning all the time as well, I guess.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting things that was coming out in the news about this was how really it's promoting kind of the big winners are some of the malware producers, because when you start doing an instant search for some of the viruses and things that are popped up, that actually it's some of the malware guys are managing to get right in there on the instant
search. They're injecting their links in when you're trying to search.
Yeah, which is really quite so you're looking for an antivirus kind of thing, and there are these malware antivirus viruses that are kind of
pretend to be curing you, but actually are infecting you instead.
Exactly. So and those are doing quite well apparently on this Google instant search. So Google's still got a bit of work to do to get rid of that kind of thing. But I thought that was a particularly interesting side effect, which Google obviously hadn't really thought about, but
if you are looking for virus software, just get Microsoft Security Essentials if you're on a PC. There you go, full stop, done.
Buy a Mac.
Or buy a Mac and just infect PCs with your laziness.
Smugness.
And smugness, yes.
Speaking of smugness, Apple did a U-turn last week.
Shock horror. No.
Well,
and good on them for doing it.
Even better was the Total fanboys that were tweeting things like, it's not really a U-turn. It's more of a strategic change in direction. And so
my philosophy is never kick someone for making a U-turn when they made the incorrect decision in the first place. Congratulate them instead. So congratulations to Apple.
Hey, there you go. See, you have turned into a fanboy. I could take that quote and just replay that time and time again now. So this is all around the, I think it was about 6 months ago, Apple changed their developer guidelines at the time and said you can't use basically a third-party software to create code to be used for an app.
Yeah, and we discussed a whole load of this. There's a lot of people thinking it was really to do with Adobe and things as well, but it kind of affected a lot more than that, wasn't it? It wasn't just Flash and stuff.
It was a whole load of third-party game libraries affected, and it was just... And again, part of the issue with the App Store development has always been because of not published guidelines and because they can just arbitrarily just change, you know, change the tact, then it can take away your... You know, if you've got an app, it can just take it away. I mean, look at HDR. You know, 4.1's come out, and if your only app's an HDR app, you are kind of screwed now. So anyway, the U-turn is that they're now allowing these third-party tools.
You can create an application in a non-native language that is then cross-compiled into the native language.
Yes.
Now we should say that although Apple's guidelines were changed so that this wasn't possible, none of the apps that I've heard about that were using these third-party tools had actually been banned.
No.
So it was all kind of a bit of a kind of a smoke and mirrors kind of thing anyway. It was all although that's what the policy was, they didn't really seem to be implementing it anyway. So if they're going back again, then that's
everyone fine. Speculated at the time that it was a finger to Adobe, and this probably adds a bit of weight to that. I mean, it was right around the release of Adobe CS5, so it was a massive Adobe launch.
Well, I think it was 3 days before, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Nowhere near enough time for Adobe to react to it, and it obviously cocked up a lot of the things that they were trying to advertise as selling points.
Yeah, well, specifically it was Adobe's Packager for iPhone, which was part of Flash, and Adobe the next day then said, fantastic, well done Apple, this feature is now available for developers to use today, and we'll now resume development work on this. And they also just pointed out that it doesn't mean Flash now works. I think there was some bits of the press were picking up, yay, Flash is an iPhone. No.
I don't think that ever will now. He's gone too far down that route.
Well, and I still say well played, because I've still not seen any videos that demonstrate that it works, it doesn't ruin battery life, and I don't get a jerky, flickery video.
So agreed. I think the only thing I've heard is... People want it just so they've got the full internet experience, but on a phone, they've still not proved yet that it can work. No. Maybe on an iPad it could work, because there's enough power and
power on the iPad is the same as iPhone.
It's got a bit more room to flex, though, hasn't it? Has it got more memory?
No.
Okay, I'm just talking rubbish then.
Yeah.
It's got a bigger battery.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, it's got more battery room to flex in.
Another developer affected by the rule change was Google, because the changes had affected AdMob, but now that's all okay. They also Apple also for the first time actually published their App Store review guidelines, which had always been a real sticking point for a lot of developers, that they were getting banned because they're breaking the rules, and it was like, well what rules? Show me.
You say guidelines, they're more of a kind of general rambling conversation.
It's the first sort of four or five paragraphs, I'm still convinced that's just Steve Jobs.
It sounds like him, doesn't it?
You know, because it just feels it's been written by him. Before this has been done, just to say, put it in some context. You know, so comments, we've got over 250,000 apps in the App Store. We don't need any more fart apps.
It just sounds like it's a script, like, you know, he reads out his keynotes.
Yes, if your app is rejected, we have a review board that you can appeal to. If you run to the press and trash us, it never helps.
I didn't like that sentiment, I have to say. Basically, he's kind of saying we are judge, jury, and review board.
No, but executioner. But my take on that is, like, see, after the review board, it's still not back. You think, fair enough. But a lot of the devs, as soon as it's rejected, it's a big, you know, oh no.
Well, because they get a lot of publicity from it, and that's true. That's just a bit ugly.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to cover some of the points in it.
Did you think it
was a little? I mean, it did come across as all it's doing is giving voice to the fact that they do make their own lines in the sand, and they say that they know when they see an app that goes over those lines. Whether it be because they're trying to protect children and all sorts, I don't know. It just seemed like they didn't really give out any particular, a rule to set to keep to. It's definitely not hard and fast. It's still flexible, and they can change it to whatever they want.
Well, I think they said that, isn't it? That they can, you know, that it will change. And I think one of the comments was it might even be your app that changes it, because over time you don't know who'll go and write something that they'll think, no, in our world that we live in, we don't want that kind of app.
But it shows that it's completely subjective.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
the problem is you can't tell beforehand, before you put in all the development hours, whether it's going to be accepted or rejected.
Exactly that, yeah.
And that is for a business that is a real problem. It's not a problem for the hobbyists and the guys just doing it for fun, but it is a problem if you're a business and you're working out how you're going to spend your hard earned cash.
But as they said in there, they just don't want any more amateur hour apps. Well,
yeah, which I thought was a bit.
But you know, the people only get good at something by doing something, and as a closed environment, the only way you can get good at doing something is by going through the process.
I don't know. I think it's one of these things you can take very black and white. I mean, I can as a developer send it out to 99 people and ask them to beta test.
Yes, and you should do properly.
So. You know, I really can read that and I can understand what they're now doing. I think they've got volume, but they're now trying to say we don't just want somebody punting out, you know, an app a day and it's doing something really basic and trivial. You know, they will start to reject it. And I think that for the first time, they're also now pointing to, you know, UI is an important aspect that you need to think about, which I think is actually won a lot of developers. Some of the kind of seasoned developers are now saying, thank goodness, you know, we want people to take their time and think about how they're developing and what it looks like and how it works. Think about the user.
Do you think it could crush some innovation out there? You know, when there's good ideas, but just haven't, if someone's not quite implemented them in the way that they think it should.
It's hard to say. I mean, I know you're saying some of the rules aren't defined very well, but I think that was just the first page. The rest of them, it is fairly kind of black and white, you know, that apps that do this, we're not going to get accepted. So at least you've now got a set of, you know, you've now got a set of rules that you can review and follow.
Unless you're a big company, and then you can buy your way in.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, exactly. I wanted to move on from this about 3 minutes ago, but you wanted to go through some of the specifics, you Apple fanboy. iTunes 10.
Oh, dear.
Oh. So, right, very briefly, I found it faster. I've actually kind of liked the interface. I think ping is the worst thing in the world.
dear.
And I just hate the fact that they've actually spent time developing this. But it's obviously just about sales and that's it.
Now, there's disastrous. Lots of people saying it could be they could have lots of future uses for it, but at the end of the day, it is a pointless waste of time.
I have
unsubscribed.
Should have done.
She just bought Last.fm, and that's what I don't understand sometimes about the when they've got, you know, I don't, what is it? Is it 50 billion sitting in the bank?
Yeah, they've got a lot of money there to buy whatever they like.
Some of the things that they try and develop themselves, just feel, you know, it's like we've talked about MobileMe and Dropbox before.
Ping doesn't even link in with their new game center, whatever it's called, is it?
So no, but ping is on your iPhone. If you go into iTunes, it's there.
Right. Oh, anyway, so I have unsubscribed for it because it's generally a pointless waste of time, I think.
Same for me.
So, yeah. And interestingly, when I did sign up for it, I put a different name in, and that did actually update my main payment details page. So all my payments then failed when I wanted to download that today.
Very good.
You have to have your real name in as your.
So all your payments came through as little Chris. Where's my wireless syncing? That's all I want to say. People have spent time making ping. Where's my bloody wireless syncing?
Yep, that's the way it goes.
I mean, that would have been a nice touch, wouldn't it? I mean, we've said it all along. It's something they need to do.
Yes.
I haven't found it any faster. In fact, the delay on startup is even worse now, and I don't have anything that syncs. I've stopped everything syncing automatically.
Oh, for me, it's I've noticed a big difference.
I've not noticed a difference.
Even when I plug in like the iPad or the iPhone to sync, it used to kind of freeze everything up, and it's not doing that anymore for me.
That still is here.
Hmm.
I mean, when he showed it on screen on stage, I thought, it doesn't look much different. Now that I'm actually using it there, you know, it does look okay. There's changes here and there, but it's they call it a new version, but as far as I'm concerned, it looks like another point release.
Yeah.
And I actually quite like the new icon. But maybe I'm not very stylish or, you know.
Well, it annoyed me at first.
Down with the people that are on the internet that think it's terrible.
They say that they removed the CD because that was out of touch. But a music icon isn't really particularly in touch with what it is anyway. It's got
yeah, but they have to change the name as well. And that's the problem. The icon goes with the name.
Mm. And but it's not, you know, the future direction of where they're going with it. It's not about music anymore, is it? It's about TV and apps.
I still think that
iContent doesn't really cut it, does it?
You can't, no.
Oh yes, have you fired up your iContent? iContent 7.
They could call it the iBloat, and then it'd be accurate at least.
Yeah, that would work.
Speaking of bloat,
or the eyesore.
Oh,
that's good. I love it.
Feel that sting.
Go trademark it now so they can't have it.
iOS 4.1 is now out. I know you've both got it because we are playing around with Game Center.
No, I'm not.
Oh, of course you're not. I was talking about Henry.
I was gutted. I specifically downloaded it, spent the time, and it was already late. And by the time it all got up and running again, first thing I went to try and do is get Game Center so I get my game tag. And it won't work. It doesn't work on i3G.
How's your HDR photos? Do they work?
Oh, hang on. I haven't tried. Let me have a look. You have a chat while I have a look.
So Game Center's there and it works, and that's really about it.
Yeah, it's not one of those kind of game changers, though, is it really? I mean, it's okay, but it's not anything amazing. There's not a huge number of games that are out there.
I do know people that just bought Pac-Man just because it was the only game that supported Game Center on day one.
Oh, no, I didn't do that. But no, I mean, things like flight control and...
Well, and the other thing I did notice was that in the top 20 apps, flight control and what was the racing game?
Real Racing.
Yeah, both of them reappeared.
Yeah.
So well, I think it's obviously given them a bit of a sales kick.
Where does the HDR appear? Because it doesn't look like I've got it. Although I can now zoom my camera, which I couldn't do before.
Well, wow. There's usually an option there just which says HDR, and you can put
when
it on
I fire up the camera at the top in the middle, I've got the flash on one side which you won't have. I've got the ability to swap the camera which you won't have, and in the middle it says HDR on.
No, nothing like that. So no, I don't even have that. What was the point?
There's probably some like bug fixes, and you're in a 3, aren't you? I thought. Because the whole point of 4.1 was to speed up the threes. Because a lot of people said it was really slow. But I know you bizarrely said it wasn't, and you thought it was a big improvement.
And I haven't noticed any difference since I've put the update on, so I don't know.
Well, Henry, I mean,
I do know someone that with the 3G that was finding the upgrade to 4 so bad that they were actually going to try and take their phone back to Apple because they won't downgrade it. You know, it's actually become unfit for purpose. You can't actually use the thing. It was so bad.
I have to say, mine is getting increasingly frustrating, but then I think it's just maybe it's getting old. I mean, my home button doesn't work very well, and nor does my my sleep button. So it's all getting a bit frustrating.
Do you want to mention MDM, Henry?
Yeah, I mean, this is this kind of multiple device management. I think that's what it's called. But it's just it's an enterprise feature, really, where for remotely managing if you've got lots of devices out there. It's one of those things that's kind of fairly standard in the enterprise. And it's something that Apple have really brought out with the iOS 4, but they've surprisingly left the implementation of it really to third parties. So, I mean, for consumers, it's not a big deal. It's not really something that you really bother about. But more and more companies now, they're not just allowing their companies to use, allowing their employees to use their own smartphones, but they're actually actively encouraging them to use their own, employees to use their own phones, because it obviously costs them the company a lot less if they don't have to go out and buy lots of hardware. Of course, the downside of that is that trying to manage those devices, you know, you've got a plethora of devices there, of phones, and you know, goodness knows what, and it's an IT manager's nightmare. So this is something that really kind of helps. It just those features of the iPhone that you can remotely do over the air, you can control, you can like change the passcode, you can wipe them, you can limit access to certain apps at certain times, or You can stop access to like the App Store or things like that. So things that enterprises probably really want to do.
Well, certainly all our BlackBerry devices are all locked down like that. You know, you can't run JavaScript even. You can't. There's a whole load of things that we all turn off.
And that's the thing. You see, BlackBerry, RIM have had this kind of stuff for ages. It's available on Google Android. And I think what Apple have realized is that there are companies which do this, which are already have got a solution for RIM and for Android. And so allowing them to develop something for iPhone as well it's much easier than them doing stuff, and maybe in the future we'll see them create their own kind of enterprise servers like you do get with them for BlackBerrys that RIM have, and you know, a sort of an add-on for Leopard server or, you know, Snow Leopard server that you
well I them. Got to be honest, I see so many applications that we could use. I mean, iPhone yes, but certainly the iPad, just very, very useful, and I can't at the moment. I am
until they really, and I think anybody that looks at this dispassionately from the enterprise point of view will still see the iPhone as a bit of a consumer device, and it doesn't really have the same kind of ability to lock things down that they have with their with RIM and therefore. But it's interesting that they're kind of adding in these things, and obviously quite quietly as well. It wasn't a big announcement. It's not the big thing that everybody's kind of talking about, but if you're an IT manager that's got to deal with this kind of thing, you'd be really quite pleased that Apple's done something like this anyway.
Yes. Now, one other little nugget. When Apple announced iTunes and they talked about the new Apple TV, and it was all about streaming, and it was 99 cents for TV shows to stream. On the same evening, Amazon said, oh yeah, we do 99 cents as well for ABC and Fox. And that's download, not stream. Who would want to stream? Why don't you own it for the same price?
And that's very clever, isn't it?
Yeah, there's too many people. You know, you've got people at Amazon, you've got Apple, you've got Google TV coming out. There's just, I think... The time is running out for cable and satellite providers.
Well, because they're all saying this market, no one's cracked it yet. So they obviously think that someone will crack it eventually, and everyone's putting their products forward now, aren't they? This next section of our podcast is going to be talking mostly about kind of solutions to getting internet content and download content into your TV.
Well, I picked up a new Sony, and it's got a whole load of. I mean, I can see. You know, Cranky Geeks podcast in it, just sitting there as a podcast. I can just play it. I don't need to do anything. I can go into YouTube. An update came out. I didn't have to go in. And what they're getting more clever with is how they're doing firmware updates. Instead of saying, on the PS3, it will say, there's a new update available. You have to go and update. So you need to move along the menus and pick it and update it and wait 5 minutes. And it's all very frustrating. On the TV, it just updated itself. Next time I switched it on, I had an iPlayer icon.
So do you plug it into the, you know, plug into network cable, or does it wireless?
It's got an Ethernet port, or you can buy a wireless add-on. So I've just plugged it into the my home network via cable, and it's actually really nice.
The
quality is really nice. You know, I fired it up yesterday and went to iPlayer and started it up, and you can just watch content.
Yeah,
YouTube actually is, you can sign in, so you can actually see all your favourites and favourite other videos and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very nicely done. And there's also links into 4OD. There was, what's the video rental service here that Amazon bought? I can't remember its name now. That you can rent.
Love Film.
So you can.
Did Amazon buy them? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, they bought them quite a while ago.
Okay.
So there's Love Film there as well, so you can do all your streaming from that. It's actually really, really quite powerful. It's just there as a kind of service that you can go and use.
Now that is quite interesting, because a friend of mine has one of the top Virgin packages for, and he says that really the thing that really puts him off is actually the front end for the EPG and stuff, it is terrible.
Yes.
And I don't think these guys have really kind of caught up with the fact of how actually important it is to be able to access easily.
I've always hated the Virgin front end, but later this year they're bringing out the TiVo front end on their new boxes, and I thought, oh, that could be quite nice, especially as they're starting to get more HD services. I still miles behind Sky, but they are getting more. But the latest review of the TiVo service I saw was awful, and it was all flash based, and it was taking, you know, 4 or 5 seconds to flip between pages.
Oh no!
And that's and straight away enough. You're just like, that's a no. You're not going to wait.
Back to the days of CFAX, aren't we?
Yeah,
and teletext.
No, the thing is, even I mean, Sky's got a new EPG and it is better than before. But when I'm doing my recordings, I'll use my iPad. I'm quicker on that app to go and search for it and click record and just let the remote record happen. Mm-hmm. And that says a lot about their apps. A lot about their EPG.
Yep.
One provider who's maybe looking to do something different is LG. So I've prattled on about Plex before, and we mentioned the new version in the last podcast. Well, Plex have also announced that LG in 2011 will now bundle Plex in their TVs, and it's a cloud-based Plex it will run. So if you buy one of the LG Netcast TVs, and I think a lot more TVs are going to be, you know, come with a network port, it'll launch a cloud-based Plex. But interestingly, if you remember the last version of Plex split the media server away from the front end. But if you've got a Plex media server running the house, it'll also connect to your home content as well. So you've got a TV with Plex built in, which I just think's amazingly good news.
Do we think that actually? I mean, there's people going after the box set. The box under your TV market. There's Sony obviously plugging stuff into their own TV.
Yeah.
LG are clearly going to go and do it. It's almost like they need to figure out a standard here so they can have a delivery network which they can all plug into.
Yeah,
so,
and I know Canvas is looking at stuff as well. The one for me that could really win this is Google, because I think their box is going to be open enough that you can just hack on what you want. You just be able to download a distribution that auto-torrents, auto-downloads news groups and gets all your content on there. I know that's
but it's not always the best product that wins, is it?
No, but I think, you know, previously there was always a difficulty in working out which option is best. But, you know, if you take something like Plex, when they did the announcement of their tie-up with LG, they said, we've got the expensive option, go and get a Mac Mini and run Plex, and everything works really well. You can go and buy a boxy box, which we'll come on to later, which has got its own issues. You can go and hack an Apple TV, or you can just run Apple TV, or you can go and buy an LG Tele and you get Plex for free. And there's you mentioned Sony there, saying that they're putting a lot of their effort into bundling the TV, but I think if you look at a PS3 as well, it has turned into a little media PC. And it's very different to Xbox. You know, you've got video services on there, you've got music services on there, you've also got a music video service on there, all launched as separate apps. So I think they're just trying to... I think the problem is that everybody's just trying to figure out which one's going to win and what makes most sense to the consumer.
Yeah, I think part of the thing with this is that, you know, you're not going to have... I don't think you'll have a huge number of people that will go for these kind of separate boxes if you've got, like, a console or something that's working really, really nicely for all these kind of things.
Yeah.
I thought, you were saying, you know, last week about the Apple TV that you weren't really convinced by it. But I think, you know, if you don't have a console, that it's actually quite a, you know, the fact that you can just plug it in and forget about it
as long as you're already in on the Apple, you know, infrastructure.
If you're in that ecosystem. So if you've bought your content via iTunes or you're hosting your content via iTunes, I think it makes sense. I think if it had apps, I think that would have been an absolute winner. Because you've then got a device that plugs in, you can download apps that are games, streaming content, whatever. There's just a whole host of them that would just work so well on a TV. And how many people have got iPhones and iPads that'll act as controllers?
And it's again, it'll live. Most of these things, or all of these things, will live or die by whether they can get content producers on board. Because they're just empty propositions unless they can. And even Apple can't get in on John, all the networks in America.
John Gruber is still insisting that the new Apple TV is an iOS device, even though they've not enabled any developer access or, you know, any App Store access. But if it is an iOS device, that to me is an update next year to say, there you go, it's now an App Store. Fill your boots. If you look at when the first iPhone came out, you know, you can develop web apps, and then 9 months later it was, you know, by the way, here's a proper App Store.
There's quite a difference from delivering content where you can store it locally, though. I mean, anyone delivering apps on the TV would have to be streamed content, wouldn't it? I mean, there's no
but there's
storage.
So many apps that are all just streamed now. Anyway, speaking of box on the TV, we've got the Boxy Box coming out, which we have mentioned before. It's now available for pre-order. It's not $199 as promised. It's $229, although Amazon are selling it for $199. And it's now got Intel inside rather than Nvidia. So a pretty last-minute change by the looks of it, too.
They said they had some hardware problems, and I think they had distribution problems. So they had to do a swap. And it took them longer than they wanted. But we've had a UK price now, which is £199.
Which is an absolute shocker.
Double an Apple TV. Do you think it's a shocker? They said it's not as cheap as they wanted it. But I guess that's just, you know, when you haven't got the clout of someone like an Apple who can go and develop their own.
Well, I was annoyed. I was annoyed with the Apple TV being £99 for $99. So I've got to be annoyed.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
I've got to be annoyed with a £199 being
$199. $30 different. Yeah.
You know, it is. VAT doesn't account for that much.
Nope. They've announced that the UK version will have the free and paid for content, just like in the US, but we're going to have sort of our local BBC Channel 4 ITV kind of content. There you can have access to your Facebook, Flitter, and YouTube. I said Flitter, didn't I? I meant Flickr. full HD out. It's got an Ethernet.
I'm just registering that domain as we speak. Flitter.
Two USB ports, an SD card slot, and support for MP3, Flash, and DivX, which obviously the Apple TV doesn't have, and a full QWERTY remote control, which we've seen before, which is. Does look good, and I'm surprised that other people haven't picked up on it yet. So you've got like a keyboard. Is it a slide or is it a twist? You just turn it over.
You just turn it over. It's a keyboard in the back and a nice little...
Which is going to be very useful for a device like that, actually.
Well, that's what you missed with my... That was the one thing when you're on your Sony and you're doing a search and you're like, oh, this is all now really awkward.
Like using the Xbox without a chat pad.
It is the killer, isn't it? The input, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Here we are, 2010, and we're still, you know, really much happier with keyboards, as the.
But that remote shows that there's a way of solving that problem, and they maybe they patented it.
Well, I don't think so, but I mean, I think they went to the guys behind the chat pad. It's the same design team that did the chat pad that have done this Boxy remote, and the remote you can buy separately. That's what they'd said, you know, back at one of the trade shows earlier in the year, that they were going to sell the remote separately so you can use it on other devices.
So this looks like a good device. It looks like it's more open than the Apple TV. It's got some in fact I don't think it has got storage, but it's the same kind of device but with a few more options and outside of the Apple ecosystem, so you're not tied to that. There's the geek in me likes this box much more.
If I didn't have a Mac Mini, I think I'd be buying this.
Yeah, I'm quite tempted by it. I'm not sure why. I think it looks cool, but I've run out of HDMI slots on my TV.
Have you?
Yeah, I only had three on mine.
I've got an HDMI splitter box if you want.
Another thing in your attic?
There's two.
Your attic must be impressive.
Oh, I'm going to tell you an attic story later on. One final TV type story. There's a new iPlayer update this week. So this is a social iPlayer. So they've changed the kind of look and feel slightly. And you can also now tie up with your social network via Facebook. So you can see what your friends are recommending. So there's a whole recommendation engine in there now. So you can see what everybody's recommending, or you can connect with your friends and see what they're recommending. That was about it. But actually, quite nicely done. I was quite impressed.
I will sign up and have a look what you've been watching.
Yeah, if I can hide
what I've been watching, that'd be all the better.
Teletubbies.
Just so voyeuristic, that, isn't it? I'm going to find out what you've been watching, but you're not going to see what I...
Exactly, that was his first thought.
There's a lot of TV shows I'm going to have to hide.
I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I know he's been really busy, but you know, Cash in the Attic is really just doesn't.
Well, the thing is, it's also, I mean, if it's stored the times you're watching it as well, you know, if you're working from home, yeah, of course I'm working from home. What do you mean I was watching Cash in the Attic at 11 o'clock? What's that all about?
Of course, Ian, you've got loads of Cash in the Attic, you know.
Attic stories. Anyway, a brief interlude for a brand new one time only section.
Dum, dum, da. We're all excited by this.
I'm quite impressed with that.
Because there's a number of birthdays to celebrate in this podcast. And I don't know if I can stomach her anymore. So we'll stop it there. Do you know, this week, Get Satisfaction is 3 years old. Do you know what Get Satisfaction is?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Chris what? Doesn't.
No,
Chris.
I do. It's somewhere in there. I'm just trying to drag it out.
So Get Satisfaction is the kind of...
Yes, I do know it. I've used... Yes, of course I do.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll kind of set up a customer forum for you type thing.
Yeah, I've used it on several of work projects.
Not only are they 3 years old, Tech Meme or Tech Meme? I'm never quite sure. Tech Meme. Meme.
Tech Meme.
5 years old.
I never used that.
Another noticeable birthday, Mac OS X, and I just said that 10. So Henry can go, it's 10, but it is actually 10 years old.
10 years old today. Well, this
what
week,
a segue. I can copy that all myself.
Unbelievable.
But most importantly, our little plumber, Mario, 25 years since Super Mario Brothers on the NES.
Now that is amazing.
25 years. How old are we?
I know.
Pretty old.
Some of our listeners weren't even alive when.
Do you think? Tam is pretty old, you know. I saw him in the flesh about 2 weeks ago, and for 44 year old, that's old. Anyway.
I'm surprised he wasn't downloading stuff. He'd said it, he'd probably queued it all up while he was away.
Anyway, that was a special one time only birthday section.
Can I just put a caveat in there that I said I used Get Satisfaction, but actually it was our friend Paul had done it, so I can't take credit. So I did seem to steal a bit of credit there for, but it was Paul. Anyway, there we go.
What are you on about?
Get Satisfaction.
What?
He'll know what I'm talking about.
Did you? All right, okay. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I also thought it was quite remarkable is there's so many birthdays this week at work. And I was sitting back thinking, but my neck, why so many in September?
What month are we on? We're in September.
Yeah, but it's happy months. Christmas. It's your once a year happy time. And lo and behold, you get a load of babies.
So Mario was a Christmas baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, how did he then? But when he first burst onto the scene, he was like in his 40s. So how did that happen?
Immaculate Conception.
Anyway.
The tumbleweed.
It's getting late.
See if I could flick over really quickly. That would have been tumbleweed. Speaking of tumbleweed, we've got a few stories to finish. Do you know we've rambled tonight?
Yeah, we've got a speed on.
I've got Halo to play. Come on.
And you're the rambler, Ian. We've seen the pictures.
You are in fine form tonight, honestly.
Well, I crack me up, you know that.
Twitter for iPad came out probably about 10, 12 days ago. Most notable for trying to do something very different with the interface. On the iPad, it's almost a series of panes that you move around. It's actually quite confusing. You select somebody's tweet and the content appears elsewhere. And it doesn't disappear and you can't close it down. It's permanently there and it highlights tweets and it's bold and it's nice, but I'm not convinced. I know Shaq's moved back to one of the other Twitter clients, which I can't remember. And you can see I've researched this well. as I fired up my iPad to try and remember.
Is that OS4 or OS4 or whatever it's called?
Yeah, that one. He's moved back to that. So yeah, I just want, where's Tweety 2 for the Mac, please? Because I want it. And you promised it ages ago. Tablets.
You're probably getting through a... No, I'm not going to say it. Keep going.
Samsung Galaxy tablet. Probably the first proper iPad competitor. So all the specs are now out. Does anybody want us to go through the specs? Or would we just say it's really good and it's coming out this year?
Is it using their fancy screen?
No.
Right. What have they got? Is it a something thingy OLED?
Yeah, but it's not
on their Galaxy, but it's not using that because this is a much bigger screen, a 7-inch screen.
Yeah. And I still think I still think 7 inch is a bit odd. 1024 by 600. I just think landscape with a keyboard open is going to be a bit tight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they seem to have a whole load of very similar specs to iPad, except they do have cameras as well.
Someone said there was a rumor of an iPad camera either being announced before Christmas or being released before Christmas.
There's been rumors of an iPad with a camera. I don't believe it since the iPad came out next year.
They're not going to do it 6 months down the line. Pee off a whole load of people.
Well, I don't think that bothers them. But actually their product, you know, the thing's selling well enough at the moment. They don't need to do a product update.
Yeah, so. I mean, they're certainly ramped up. They've now got 2 million being produced a month, but they would be happy with 3 because they can sell 3.
So this new Galaxy tablet's going to run Froyo, Android 2.2. So it's going to come with flash support, I guess. Which from the looks of the specs is, I mean, are Android applications and things set up and ready for these bigger type screens? Most Android applications or Android
seemingly not.
Devices are small.
There was something from Google at the start of the week saying that that Froyo is not really built for tablets, which I thought was an interesting comment.
Yes, from Android. From Google. I'm getting tired.
price. It always has been an issue, though, with all your Android things. You actually had to kind of, you know, at least Apple, you know what you're dealing with in terms of screen resolution. For Android, it's a nightmare. You've got to work out.
It must be hard. There's so many devices now.
So many devices, so many different form factors and everything. You know, it's like, good luck trying to create an app for that.
So it'll be on Vodafone and 3 in October. All we've got is kind of European prices, euros of $699 and $799, which seem comparable with iPads, except iPads with double the storage. And the other issue is that they reckon that there will be deals with the mobile phone firms to bring the price down. But still, it'll be good to see. I mean, Apple have basically got this market at the moment, which everybody said didn't exist. And I mean, there's some scary predictions of next year of 30 million units they reckon they're going to sell, and iPads, especially when enterprises and schools actually start to properly use these.
It does make me think about, maybe Apple was the only person that could forge this market, and they've done it, and they're going to have clamped it down. I don't think it exists for a PC-based tablet, device.
I still look at Balmer at the start of the year, standing there and saying, we're going to have slate devices out. What a chump.
Can't be bothered.
What an absolute chump.
They're now talking about getting other devices out in about 3 years' time.
Yeah, I mean, HP basically said, HP bought Palm and says, that's what we're going to use our Slate. We'll use that software for Slate. More mobile news. The worst name ever. Everything Everywhere from October 5th. This is the merger of Orange and T-Mobile.
Yeah, but they don't run Flash. Can't be Everything Everywhere.
Everything Everywhere. I hope somebody got a lot of money for that name.
There'll be someone sat there rubbing their hands together going, yep, that was easy.
So basically, for no extra cost, you'll be able to, you're able to jump around either network, aren't you? A bit like Chris's cursor right now.
So yes, they're basically, doesn't matter if you're on our Orange tariff or a T-Mobile tariff, all their masts will be coming together into one big mega network, which surely will benefit everyone that's on those two platforms. It's good, I think. That's obviously why they did it as much as anything.
Yes, is it more the kind of way that actually, you know, particularly down in the southeast and stuff, there's issues with it's particularly was it particularly the Orange Network or the I can't remember.
Orange,
but the
Orange Network has had trouble recently.
So what this will do is kind of like the way that you roam in when you go to Europe, it will automatically kind of switch you over to the other network if you're dropping your call or whatever, which seems quite good actually if it's overloaded. So being able to share like that seems a really smart thing, but quite complicated to do.
No doubt we'll have Brian listening along screaming at his
yeah, iPod. It don't work like that.
Well, it doesn't work anything like that.
Well, he did say he was a potential mobile expert on call of Finder.
He'll no doubt correct us when he comes on the blog again.
Speaking of blogs, Blog Lines is to close October 1st.
I have no idea what Blog Lines is.
Oh, you do.
You two seem quite sad about it, but
Blog Lines was the RSS reader to use 5 years ago.
5 years ago, and some of us never moved off it because we were quite happy with it and it worked, so we just kept working with it.
And I think I used it for about a year and a half, and then Google Reader eventually got all the features that I needed. You know, I had proper folder support and all that kind of good stuff. But Blog Lines was the... It was good.
So it was the Google Reader before Google Reader was
yes.
there?
Yeah, it's just a simple RSS aggregator.
But it's been for me, and I know somebody at work has been using it, I think it's been not working very well for about 6-8 months.
No, I couldn't work out whether it was something with Vodafone blocking the site or something with the site not working on the iPhone, but I was getting a lot of errors with it. Actually.
And it wasn't updating. I noticed there was blog posts months ago that people were saying that, you know, my posts are updated in Google Reader, but they're not getting picked up in blog lines.
Yeah, it wasn't working at all. It was basically broken.
Yes, and now it's permanently broke.
Yep.
It's gone.
So, of course, at the same time as that, was the company behind Blog Lines were saying, well, mostly it's because, you know, users are down, and also Twitter and Facebook have taken over. It's all about real time and that kind of thing. And there was some other blog writers picked up on this and says, yeah, Google Reader's going away as well. But Google Reader put up a post just saying, well, hold on, no, we're not. And our traffic's ever increasing. I do think... I think Chris has maybe said this before. I do think there's a... I do get my news elsewhere now. You know, Twitter, you will... I guess if something's important enough, it will pop up elsewhere before I actually start reading feeds.
Yep.
But there's still a lot that I get from feeds, to be honest.
Yes, there seems to be something... there does seem to be a need for somebody to do something to kind of aggregate these things properly rather than...
Yeah,
I find there's about two or three feeds that I would regularly look at, and lots of the stuff is, you know, completely duplicated. Take quite a clever bit of technology to try and pull them all together, though.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but it could kind of take a bit of the hit and the miss nature of who to follow on Twitter, or, you know, that kind of thing. There are certain, you know, if you're not really in the know, then the kind of people to follow are... It's not. If you knew what to do there, that would kind of... I think that would kind of help for people new coming in.
Sorry.
That'll be Chris's phone.
Let me bear it.
I can also hear him rolling around. Is that how that
Sorry,
is?
Yeah, just scoot across the room.
It's still ringing.
Yeah, I can't put it under the duvet. Oh, there it goes. I've actually just noticed I've got 10. 10 unlistened to voicemails on there.
Can we just press off? surely hiding it under the duvet is there.
I don't have an off button. My phone is rubbish.
All right, okay. I'm very excited. It's been a long summer, but finally the big games are here. The big AAA titles are coming.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, and the first one was today. Halo Reach was launched.
Yep, dropped onto my mat this morning.
It dropped onto my mat yesterday.
And then your Xbox dropped off this world.
So, as usual, I came home, so I thought, I'll install that in my 360. I don't want to hear the drive. So I let that run last night. So I left it for half an hour, went through, and I am red-ringed. Fantastic. Nice. Thank Lovely. You very much, Microsoft. Thank you very much, Bill Gates. Because usually at that time, you just start blaming Bill Gates. But I thought, never fear. I have a second Xbox in the attic.
There's that attic again.
There's the attic, yeah.
Chris, who else do you know that has a second Xbox in their attic?
Not that's working, that's for sure.
Well, funny you should say that. So, and the one issue by this time is it's getting quite dark. And there's loads of spiders in my attic.
Basically, what my attic. Girl's blouse.
Absolutely. I'll visit my attic in the winter.
We don't even have biting spiders in this country.
I don't care. I went up the ladders and one ran right by me and I kicked my pants. I shrieked like a girl. I almost considered jumping. It would not have ended well. So got the Xbox down from the attic and it didn't work either.
Oh no, fail.
I did swap the power supplies over, however. And the one from the attic did work with its own power supply. But basically my current one with its power supply are bust, which is a bit odd.
So have you tried the old power supply with the new box?
Yeah, Phil.
Oh, okay.
So I'm so tempted just to go and buy another Xbox, to be honest, because it's so noisy.
Go on, you get a nice shiny black one now.
Yeah, but it's £190 I don't need to spend. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So I'm back up and running. I had two games last night and they were joyous. Don't ask me about single player because I'll probably never play it unless you fancy doing some co-op.
I whacked single player in briefly today and I've played quarter of an hour so of it. Exactly as you'd expect.
Yeah, maybe we'll go through it as co-op then. Make it more interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll bump up the difficulty and do it as a co-op. The multiplayer was class. Because it was two new maps I played on. And the first one was joy. And the second one, I had some little git saying I was stealing all his kills. And it was like, I've missed this.
I remember what it's like, yeah.
So, great reviews. And I've seen some people saying today, it's like almost like the definitive Halo, which if you like Halo is great. And if you don't, probably avoid.
Yeah, I mean, if you've tried the previous three or four Halos and haven't liked them, then just don't bother.
And next up, we have
some racing action. Got Codemasters F1 coming. Is it next week it gets released?
It is next week.
So we've been seeing some amazing videos of this game. Now, I am very skeptical about racing games in general, and I have every likelihood I'll be disappointed by this, but I tell you what, it looks good.
It looks blooming amazing. I even saw a night one today. There was a video of night racing. And it just
Abu Dhabi version, yeah.
The whole thing just looks really slick.
Presentation-wise, it's amazing. And you said that comparison video, we both obviously saw it, of a real Monaco lap versus the simulator lap. And it
was very awesome. Accurate. It was awesome.
Just hardly could tell. I mean, I know it was a low-resolution video, but it was you couldn't really tell the difference between the two.
No, you couldn't tell the difference. And also, whoever was playing it realistically as well. You know, just the way they were taking the turns and the way it all panned out. It wasn't like your usual journalist racing, so you knew it was fake.
Well, they've got Ant Davidson on board and several other drivers, which I guess they've been talking about. And now they're obviously talking up, but then they're on the payroll, so they have to.
They're on the payroll, and one comment from him that worried me was he says he wanted to make it fun rather than the type of game where you race for three laps and then are punished.
And he said that the game exhibits a lot more grip than you have in real life.
Yeah, as soon as he said he was wanting to make it fun, I was like, oh.
But that's, again, not him talking. That's PR talk, isn't it? Anyway, congratulations to Ant Davidson. He won the Silverstone 1,000 kilometres over the weekend. There we go.
Woo-hoo.
So, did you guys have you guys pre-ordered both of these?
Aha. I pre-ordered Halo. Purely because Tesco did a deal, so I got it for like £33 and I got Quidco cash back, which took it down to £29.99.
Bloody hell.
So it seemed to be quite a cheap way of buying it because I pre-ordered it.
I've been ripped off
2-3 months ago. But I know supermarkets now are like.
Well, I was in the supermarket today just getting stuff for tea, and there was a woman in there who'd got Halo £35.
Mm.
See,
on the day of release.
Yep.
I did actually get mine for £35, but I had to use. That was all based on game points.
Ah.
So.
Well, I pre-ordered from Tesco and they delivered a day early.
Yeah, I only got mine this morning, which is, again, is unusual. Game normally ahead. But I think maybe there were people were being pretty tight on it. So going with an unusual delivery partner was probably better this time.
And I think
Play.com, it seems to be about 40 quid.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that when I pre-ordered FIFA last year. And I used to use Gameplay all the time because they would deliver day before and without, you know, registered post nonsense. So it would come into the letterbox. But they were late last year. And also, all the supermarkets went into a bit of a war over price. So they were selling it for $24.99.
And I paid, they seem to be doing it again now, don't
and
they?
And I paid $37.
Yeah, it's annoying.
So I was like, well, A, it's not come through. So I just went up to my local Morrison's. You got FIFA? No, we're, oh, yeah, we have. $24.99, thanks very much. And just sent another one back. No, it's too much of a difference in price. £13 on day one.
Now, this all sounds a bit geeky, but say, I like my
pre-orders because I know I'm going to get them. Like the rest of the podcast has been really non-geeky.
Yeah, but I just, there's something about gamey geekiness that makes me cringe. but I don't know, risking not having a game on launch day by just waiting for the supermarket seems a bit dodgy to me.
Nah, I'm beyond that now. I don't care.
No.
But the RRP of these things is 60 quid. We're getting up to the stage where the software is going to cost more than the hardware.
Yeah, I know.
I'd say it's more like it's 45, 50 quid max. But the online RRP, stores selling for 40. No,
but the RRP for Halo is 60 quid.
Really? No, it's not. That's not for these crappy legendary editions. We'll sell you some plastic tat as well.
Yeah, it's doing, not,
so seeing these big AAA titles, now you get like three editions. You get a normal one. You get like a kind of one that gives you like a different helmet in the game and gives you a little booklet. And then you get some stupid, like, give us 120 quid and then we'll send you this big plastic, basically a big knob that they send through the post. And you've got this big plastic knob with a Halo helmet or a scene from Halo. Plus you've got a really fantastically well-written book that you'll never read. And they're all doing it. Last year's Modern Warfare came with night vision goggles if you bought the most expensive one. This year's comes with a remote control car because that's in the game. And I just think it's in the game because that's the only bit of plastic tat they could sell alongside the game.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at you. There is, yeah, it's 100 quid you can spend for the legendary edition.
Yeah, yeah. It's
unbelievable.
It's not good. But I mean, Warfare will probably be. Last year, its RRP was 50. I think places were selling it for 45, but okay. The supermarkets were doing it for 35.
Well, there we go. I stand corrected.
No, it's all right. Oh, and one more thing. Two demos are out tomorrow that are quite exciting, if you like football. FIFA 11 and also PES. This year's PES is out tomorrow.
Side-by-side release. Which one's going to be better this time?
PES is coming out a day before FIFA. Which I
take a lot for Pez to catch up with.
Which
FIFA
already
right
means
now.
In my book it sucks. We've gone for the get out first. poor old Pez. Still makes my heart bleed. Picks, because we've rambled.
We have rambled. Can I just do mine first? Because it's a lovely segue from the last section.
You can do it. And also what you say, it's still 0-0 with Rangers and Man U.
Well, there we go.
Basically, I think Rangers have got 12 people in front of the goal. It's class.
Are they all standing on each other's shoulders as well? Just
so, Chris, your pick. Oh no, Henry, it is you first. Sorry, Henry, your pick.
You just lost it, haven't you? You just got so into the football.
Well, I'm now thinking. Also, it's half an hour before I go and play some Halo.
That's it.
It's like I've almost taken some like fat iron brew instead of diet, and I'm now having a little bit of a rush.
There's nothing like the fat iron brew.
Oh, I don't know. Bit of black pudding.
Bit of black. Anyway, my pick tonight is the fact that Monkey Island 2 is only 59p at the moment.
Really? I didn't know that.
For the bargain. iPhone.
Did you know that, Chris?
I had no idea.
Wow, Henry. You are the font of all knowledge tonight.
Oh, it's great. It's great. So I'm very pleased with that. And I have not really played very much of it, I must confess.
Really? I was going to ask you what the best features are in that game. What are the unique selling points that make it such a good bargain?
Well, the fact is that it used to be a fiver.
Right.
So that is typical women's logic, isn't it? You know, I didn't really want this dress, but it was, you know, a quarter of the price.
to be honest, it's women's logic and Shaq's, because he did say that at work today. Have you bought it yet? No. But it's 59p.
Well,
you know why I got it?
Because it's 59p.
I liked the first one a lot, although, you know, the interface was a bit funny. But no, this is great. So certainly for 59p, can't really beat that.
If you like the Monkey Island series, then basically get it. Why not 59p?
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for reading out one of my secondary picks. Chris.
Anytime.
Your pick this week.
So my pick this week is going to be unsubscribing from Ping, which I did. But also...
Can't believe you read out the joke you wrote.
Yeah, yeah. It was that genuinely was going to be my pick, and I was going to explain exactly how you unsubscribe from it. But no, I was going to leave this till next week because it literally is a last minute thing. But today I have actually bitten the bullet and I've bought Camtasia Studio, which is basically the mother of all screen capturing software and presentation capturing things. Basically, it's a whole suite of tools which enable you to record what you're doing in Windows, etc. And narrate it, add videos to it, add title screens, add annotations. Basically, any slick video you've seen out there that shows how someone's using an application on a PC is probably created using Camtasia Studio. Now, it does cost a bit, so it's £220, including VAT. Basically, for the job I do, which is development work and having to teach people how to use applications, it's invaluable, really. Well, I've missed what you said, sorry.
The world to sing. It made me laugh.
If you wanted to teach the world to sing, then this application would be perfect.
Perfect.
But yeah, I might even further down the line do a bit better review of it. I mean, I had a quick test application today. It's very easy to use, easy to understand. I mean, it uses a kind of video editing type timeline idea and transition effects and things like that. But it's incredibly powerful and options coming out of his ears.
Scarily, I've used it.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah. I tried it and then we decided to buy 5 or 6 for work.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it just does what it does very, very well. If you're not quite, I know we've talked before about Jing. So if you don't need the full flexibility of the studio, you can buy something called Jing, which is by the same people, but you're limited to 5 minutes presentation on that. So there is a bit of a limitation on the Jing, but that's there if you want to have a.
If only the podcast were limited to 5 minutes, eh?
If only, eh?
Yeah.
Right, my daft pick. But I absolutely love it. I will stand by it. I bought a new set of scales. I bought the Withings scales. Now these are Wi-Fi enabled.
They are man scales, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Honestly, it's.
Do they come with a Twitter account? Do they tweet your weight?
No, but they do allow you to. So the Wi-Fi enabled. They upload your weight and your basically your fat mass, they call it, to the website.
Nice. Your mass of fat.
Yeah, basically. I've got 22 kilograms of fat. Thanks for that.
That's, yeah.
So, what do you mean bloody hell? You've got about 50.
I know. I don't think I'd ever want anything. I wouldn't want to stand on it.
You know you want this. So
he'll say, you are dead.
So the upload automatically to the website. There's also a free iPad and iPhone app, so you can track your progress or not.
Fantastic!
The app itself is flash based. What's really nice is you can actually they've made the data. A lot of sites can hook up to it, so I can hook up in Google Health or Runkeeper or Weightbot on the iPhone, so I can actually get all my data and I can export and import the data as well, so I'm not locked into that particular account.
This is just ultimate geekage, isn't it? This is the ultimate.
Now, if you've got a family, it will support up to 8 people, so it automatically knows who's who
and we'll track their weight. Try and use it at once. And, will 7 of you please get off?
As I said, you can set it up to tweet. So every time I start in my scales, it will actually tweet. I actually set up a brand new account for this.
I'm sorry. I should be taking this much more seriously.
You should be. Especially with my Twitter handle, if you want to track my weight, is how fat is Ian?
Can it just tweet your differences, or does it actually tweet your full-on...
No, it tweets my weight plus I've set a target of 90 kilos, which I know to normal
Twitter
mortals.
Twitter love handles.
So, no, so I'll tweet your weight plus how much you have to go to your target.
There you go.
I'm looking at the website here, and I must admit, I've never seen so many people advertising a product that which never needed to use it with scales in their lives.
Unbelievable. Love it. I love it.
So, I mean, I do like the sound of it. I mean, the one question I have, which is, this is all fantastic and it's obviously done very well, but if the scale isn't accurate, there's no point. So is it a good scale?
Well, you see, I fell into a fat man's trap. That's the only way I can describe it. And that I was convinced my previous scales were wrong because my weight was going up. So that is a definite fat man's trap. You convince yourself like, oh no, these are wrong now. And I'd used them to track my weight loss over the last sort of 3.5 years, and they've been fine. But recently, it's just been like, there's just been odd readings. You know, I'd from week to week, I'd stand on it and I'd jump up a kilo. And I'm like, I've been exercising loads. I'm not eating much. What's going on? So I did a little sneaky test on a couple other scales, and they looked like they were out. So I replaced the batteries and it made no difference. And there seems to be, when I got the new weighing scales through, I compared them and there's a 4 kilo difference.
So your existing scale had been lying to you?
I think so. Because the new scales tie up. The new scales tie up with the my kind of test scales that I went and tested on.
But that's really annoying if it starts tweeting and it's gone wrong, isn't it? It makes you 4 kilos heavier than you actually are.
I'll lay awake at night worrying about this. This is a first world problem. We are a bunch of women, aren't we? One other little issue. It's a lovely set of scales. I really like the fact that I don't need to do anything. It's all like, you know, everything's all done in the background and does it automatically. I did pay £107 for it.
Ouch.
Your wallet would be a heck of a lot lighter. You'll be saving kilos just standing on the scales now.
I do, however, have a set of scales in the attic now.
Yes.
as long as you take four kilos
heavier than you actually are.
Just take 4 kilos off it and they're great.
Brilliant.
That's my pick. And that's our podcast. If you want to hear more of this rambling nonsense, then www.digitaloutbox.com is our website. Thanks for highlighting that, Chris. Your email address is info@digitaloutbox.com. And on Twitter and Skype, we are Digital Outbox. Henry. Where are you?
I'm Talk Rhubarb on Twitter, where you can find me at talkrhubarb.com/WordPress.
Christopher?
I'm Cheesy UK on Twitter.
And I am Shreeper on Twitter, and my blog is END.net, where you can find a rambling review of my scales, which I might actually cross-post into Digital Outbox.
And some pictures of you rambling.
And some pictures of me rambling, yeah. Pictures of me in shorts. Fantastic. And in that bombshell, to quote Jeremy Clarkson. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Goodbye.
Hour 13.
Uh-oh.
Unbelievable.
We
can you
leave
edit
you in
that?
Charge for 1 week.
Just Sorry. Edit half of that out of that, Ian. It's all in the edit. Just cut half of it out. No one will know.
But I know if I cut bits out, people will be offended.
No, they won't.
They will.
No, we definitely won't.
I would be more than happy for half of mine to go. Thank you very much.
But just leave it that talk about your withing scales. That was just podcast gold.
You too can tweet your weight. Good boy. See, since I first saw other geeky people buying it and tweeting their weight, I was like, I have to have that in my life.
I bought colour changing lamps for my lounge, and I bought 3 of them, and they cost a bloody fortune, so I can't talk.
When was that, in the 70s? Is that an end thing now?
Far too recently for my own kid. How often do I use them? Only when other people are around, which is very rare.
Well, I'm using my skills daily now. Because I feel I have to get my money's worth.
Get your money's worth.
You have to do 107 quid's worth of weighing.
Ouch. Honestly, I've got no qualms about it whatsoever.
No, I love it. I love the geekiness of it. It's brilliant.
It is incredible. That is awesome.
Shameful. Can you set it to do other tasks? Like, I don't know, if you put on a kilogram, can it lock the fridge?
Well, they are going to develop. They did actually get some funding last week, and they're going to develop two other products. How cool would that? Well, what I was thinking is, imagine they could like tie it up. If you've got a gastric band fitted with a device to tighten it, so it's like, you fat swine, tighten, and you'd be like, ah. How cool would that be?
Be brilliant.
I think it'd be awesome.
You could add more laxative to your food as you.
that's wrong. The Rajput in Bath, honestly. If you're wanting some laxative, go into the curry house of the Rajput. Oh, still scarred.
You lost a few pounds that night.
Oh, a year and a half on. I will never forget that night. Bloody best curry house in Bath. My arse testifies that it wasn't.